Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. Welcome back to another Sunday night on Max and Friends here at LA Talk Radio. How is your week? How was your weekend? How was your week? What's going on in your life? Tell me. Tweet me at Max Tucci. If it's your first time joining us, welcome to Max and Friends. We've been here 8 years, so I'm glad you found us now, because where we are right now is exactly where we're supposed to be, and that's here on Max and Friends. And who you are is exactly who you are supposed to be. Your life is big. You know, I always say that. So keep reaching. No experience is ever wasted. Everything has meaning. And I'm about to be knocked over my head with this vision board that I have in the studio. Woo, wouldn't that be good? Well, it'll be fun on air. Speaking of on air, we're live on air tonight here on Max and Friends. I know you, I've already got like messages from friends earlier. They're like, what's wrong with your voice? Well, you know, we've just got to, I've been spreading love all weekend. And the way that I spread love sometimes is to sing. Now, I don't have the best of voices, but I do make a joyful noise. So we had a lot of fun singing over the weekend. A lot of events happening in Miami, in New York, all over the place. So whatever everyone is doing, just keep doing it. Spread the love, no matter how you have to do it. So tonight here on Max and Friends, we've got a great show. We've got a couple things going on tonight. I have a great guest. We're going to talk about really some inspiring things in life and who you are is like who you're supposed to be. I just love this quote, and I just believe it for all of us, that we're all these unique threads in this tapestry of life. And it's like if one of these threads is missing, life wouldn't be as we know it. So my guest who's coming up shortly, Farrah Krenick, she is from our show, Orange is the New Black. Now, you know, Lynn Tucci's been here. Selena Levias has been here. We love our Orange is the New Black cast members. But what I love about Farrah is that she has really, just from seeing social media, the last moments that we've been tweeting, a desire to inspire. And we're going to talk about that here tonight on Max and Friends. We also have a wonderful abundance meditation from Bob Proctor later on in the show. So stay tuned. We're going to have fun tonight. We have some great songs, one that I just love. And we're going to play that shortly. I'm just catching my breath and getting into the moment. Speaking of breath, do you all believe in your breath of breathing and exhaling? Focus on it. Focus on it. Because your breath will really just like silence the chatter in the mind of insecurities. And the exhale will just bring you back to the moment. So let's get a song, because that's what I believe. And this is a song that I love. It's from my friend. She sings our theme songs from time to time, Sharon Gatow. And the song is Believe. And when we're back, my new friend Farrah is going to join us. Believe on Max and Friends. Stay tuned.
Thank you. to receive? And who do we need to be?
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. That was Sharon Gatow, Believe, a song that I absolutely love. Sharon, I love you. Thank you for giving us that song. Well, tonight we're going to be having a good time because hit it.
The animals, the animals, trap, trap, trap till the cages fall. The cages fall, the day is new, and everyone is waiting, waiting on you, and you've got time. Think of all the roads, think of all the crossings. Taking steps is easy, standing still is hard. Remember all their faces, remember all their voices. Everything is different the second time around. And you've got time. You've got time.
LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends.
Woo! LA Talk Radio, this is Max and Friends, and that's the theme song to Orange is the New Black, because my next guest, you all know her from the show, and from many other things, she's an awesome inspiration, and I'm really, like, super honored to have her here tonight on Max and Friends. We're going to talk about a lot of things, and especially just about life and inspiration and what's going on. Do you have time? Well, if you do, then tune in to Max and Friends, because my next guest is a game changer in the entertainment industry, not only because of where she comes from, but most importantly, where she's headed. You may recognize her from shows such as Orange is the New Black, Saturday Night Live, Nurse Jackie, Law and Order, and that's just to name a few. Born and raised in my neck of the woods, New York, welcome Farrah Krainic to Max and Friends. Welcome to the show.
Thank you, Max. Good evening. Thank you for having me.
It's my pleasure. Well, I'm so glad you're here tonight. And there's so much going on in your life. So where do we, what's the genesis of your existence?
Well, it's funny, you know, people, when they ask about me, you know, I could go into the whole long story as to when I was born and how I grew up, but I think that right now, today, it's like being born all over again, because, see, the thing is, I never thought the day would come when I would address a group of students or talk to people and start the sentence by saying, "You kids nowadays, you know, I feel so old." And I see so much of the LGBT youth so confused, they feel lost, they feel abandoned. And I've actually made it my mission to have them as my ambassadors. I have been recently, aside from filming, I have been recently appointed ambassador to a company, YouChic. I'm going to get into that in about a minute, but the thing is that my number one position with them is to motivate and to inspire young women. And, I was genuinely flattered when I was approached by this because I'm thinking, me? You want my story? And our founder, Christy Garton, she we're on the same page regarding how to address these young women. But the number one thing that immediately captivated me about her is the fact that she listened. She listened to my story, and completely. And it was really flattering. She was interested about the acting. She was interested about what I do at a while filming or what TV series or TV shows or movies that I've been in. But she wanted to know my story. And then afterwards when I was...
I want to know your story. So tell us a little bit about your story and why these quotes, "Be proud and stand tall," have such a beautiful resonation. Like, they just... I hear you. I'm reading this on your website, so I just know that these words are so true for you. So tell us a little bit about your story.
I grew up in doing a very cruel generation. I was born way back when, and it was at a time where social media, computers, Facebook, Twitter, none of that existed. It was almost like years ago during wartime, no antibiotics. If people got sick, they just kind of had to become stronger and become immune to it. Growing up through elementary school really wasn't a problem because I was surrounded by classmates, and it was like you're surrounded by your siblings. They just accept you for who you are. They don't really care. But then afterwards, in junior high school and high school, and you're tossed into different homerooms, and you're different. Nobody knows you. You're constantly surrounded by strangers. And I was always more masculine looking. I was taller than all of the boys. My hair was short. I'd wear boys' clothes primarily because they fit better, but also because I felt like me in them. It was not a time in where being yourself was accepted. You either look like a girl or you look like a boy. There was no in between. There were no shades of gray. And if you didn't fit into either category, it's like, what circus do you belong to? Or what's wrong with your parents? Don't they know how to raise you right? And it was horrible. I mean, it got to the point where even when the kids did know me, I was like the mutant of the class. They wouldn't even let me use the bathroom. It was a daily struggle to the point where the gym teachers, go figure, were the ones that had sympathy, and they actually let me use their private the teacher room to change or to use the bathroom. That's how bad it got,
What? We might be in that whole area of, where you grew up, where it was like no antibiotics. But still, what you went through then is still happening today. So how come we haven't changed?
We have changed, but I think it was because it was forceful. Nowadays, it's been different because of the fact that everything is exposed. Everything is being proven. Like, if somebody says something, immediately they'll put it on YouTube. If somebody writes something, they'll post it on Facebook. Years ago, people said something, and if they said something in a room, that's where it stayed. Uh-huh. There really wasn't any proof of the bad.
It was their word against yours, right? It was almost their
exactly.
Word
and if they were popular, and obviously you were not, who are they going to listen to? So, I just became immune to it. But, just like everybody else, I think like everybody else. I mean, I guess I liked watching TV, and I kept on looking for a character on TV that I could identify with. I tell people or ask people, whoever your favorite actor is, or name your favorite movie, doesn't matter what it is. But the reason why you like it so much or you like this actor so much is because that person did something that you identified with. That person impacted your life. That person, wears the same cologne that you wear. Something.
So who was
you
your favorite actor or actress then?
That's the thing. I really never had one because I couldn't identify with anybody.
And what about now?
Right now, I could say, when I think of actresses like Hilary Swank or Charlize Theron, or actresses that have taken on the more edgier roles. You know, for example,
like yourself.
You're very charming, you know. But the thing is that with Hilary Swank, when she did Boys Don't Cry, you know, remembering that she portrayed Brandintina, but she's not Brandintina. But right. She did an amazing job portraying her, you know. Regarding Charlize Theron, when she transformed herself to play the role of Eileen Wuornos in Monster, that was just amazing. You know, she did an excellent job, and of course I saw the documentary and everything, and they were like twins. You know, it was a really, hats down, an amazing film. But what I'm getting at is that I could never find, I'm pretty sure, Ellen, of course, I loved ever since I started seeing her on TV. But the thing is, you know, coming out as gay for her also was very difficult. But again, her story is a little bit different because, you know, she did look like a girl. Mm-hmm. And I was looking for an actress or somebody that looked like me. I couldn't find that. So I figured I'm going to stop searching and I'm going to become. Yeah, I want to be that actress that I'm looking for. And I knew that it was more than just about the big screen, because that wasn't my mission. That was part of it. But by doing so, I wanted to help girls like me. I wanted them to be able to escape to a movie theater or watch a TV show or hear me talk or hear me, you know, being interviewed and saying, oh, she gets it. You know, she's just like me. And once somebody has that, once somebody knows that somebody understands, it's the beginning of healing. It's the beginning of freedom. It's the beginning of a new life, because you know that you're not the only one. The worst possible feeling that anybody can have is feeling abandoned and lonely and secluded and feeling like they don't belong anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, and I knew at a very young age, I knew that there were many girls out there like me. I didn't know where they were, but I said, you know, one day, you know, I will find you, or better yet, you'll find me, and we can all work together. And now,
well, you know, there's a wonderful quote that I've learned recently, and it's "Together we rise." And I strongly believe that in my core, that together we can rise, we can break these, you know, shake the foundation of hatred, shake the foundation of all of ignorance, and just really connect. So, what is it that you're doing now? Where do you feel a connect with your audience, and do you feel a connection? With these schools and all these like wonderful, bright individuals that you're speaking to?
Well, the number one role so far that I've had lately has been portraying myself as being ambassador to Yushi, because basically Christy Garden gave me the stage and she told me, I just want you to be you, and I want them to see what it's like to be you. In other words, not being Pharaoh, but just being yourself, and what an impact that can have. So I'm on stage and I'm discussing, you know, my story, telling them what I'm about. And I said to them, I am in a room filled with young ladies between the ages of 17 and 22. And some of you are in relationships, some of you are thinking about being in relationships, and others are having a crush on somebody, or you don't know how to approach that person. And I'm not here standing, you know, preaching, saying, you know, save yourselves for your wedding day, but I am begging you, please save yourselves for somebody that deserves you, because the number one problem that girls now face is a lack of self-esteem, a lack of self-confidence.
Yeah, and guys.
You know, I want them to know that no matter what it is that they think that they cannot do in life, I will, you know, I'll be arguing with them saying, yes, you can. No, I can't do this. Yes, you can. The problem and the reason why they lack this self-confidence, and this is, again, where Yushi comes in, they provide funding because their mission, Christy's mission, was to see all girls achieve their dreams. And so it is allowing girls to continue their education by providing scholarships. That is a very important essence, of course, of the program. But what I do, where I come in, is I give them a mental boot camp. Kind of like trying to toughen them up, you know.
What is
nowadays,
the mental boot camp? What is that?
mental boot camp to me is, let's just say now, because of social media, a lot of the, and I can't just blame the youth, because God knows when it first started coming out, when AOL chat started, when I discovered it, I was hooked on that, and I was at home for hours and hours and hours, and sometimes, oh my God, 3-4 in the morning, how long have I been on this thing? You know, it's very addictive. Yeah. Why would you bother to leave your home, go to some restaurant or go to some bar, spend money when you can be at home quote unquote talking to somebody, you know, and possibly getting to know them. And even the TV show Catfish was based on this, how sometimes people can have 2-3 years of a internet love affair, or just have this image of somebody that lives cross country and keeps on saying, well, they can't meet you, or they can't do this, they can't do that. And finally, when you do invade their space, they realize you're not talking to a 25-year-old man, but a 70-year-old man that's playing with young women's hearts. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's become that. And what I'm teaching them is, I beg you, please, I want you to go out. I want you to go out there and face the world. Don't be scared, because there is no such thing. It's like telling people they're not going to get hurt, telling people that everything is going to be perfect. It's the same thing like taking a child to a playground and saying you're not going to get dirty. You have to experience falling down. You have to, you know, you have to have all of these emotions. I pray, I hope, I told them that you meet somebody that's so head over heels in love with you that they demand to go to your home so that they can bring flowers to your mother. I want them to do something ridiculously romantic. You know, no texting. I want you to write a love letter. To me, to this day, it's the most powerful thing, you know, that can be, you know, when you love someone and you're trying to express your feelings onto paper, all of your energy, everything that you're feeling inside, is being transmitted from your body to the ink to the paper. When the person opens the letter, it's like they get electrocuted that moment.
But you know what? There's a song that I'm going to play, and then we're going to come right back. It's a song about love. It's from my dear aunt, Katina Regneri, who I would love for all of you to know. And she did. She took the pen to the paper and wrote this song, and her husband, Ritz Ortolani, composed it, Oh My Love, on Max and Friends. And when we're back, Farrah's going to be with me. So stay tuned. Oh, my love.
Oh, my love. Nature's miracle once more will light the world. But this light is not for those men still lost in
Talk Radio. This is Max and Friends. I'm your host, Max Tucci. That was Katina Regneri, the song, Oh My Love. My guest here tonight is the one and only Farrah Krainic. Welcome back, Farrah. So, that was a great song, wasn't it?
Oh, it was amazing. Yeah, I enjoyed it very much. Thank you.
old school love, nothing like it. But tonight, for those kids who are listening, who are tuning in, I have a 14-year-old niece, and I know she tunes in, even though it's late in New York, and she loves the show. But, you know, I know that she goes through so much in school right now, too, even at 14. So for those kids who are out there listening right now, what is one thing that you want them to know tonight here on Max and Friends that they can take with them into this week, into the rest of the year, into their school year? What's one thing you want them to know?
I promise them, and this is a genuine promise, that tomorrow will be better. And if tomorrow doesn't go exactly the way they want it to go, the next day will be even better. Nothing will ever remain the same. I'm telling you this from experience because I was 14 not that long ago. I promise you dinosaurs were not roaming the earth. but time, you know, and just in their defense, you know, 14 is not the 14 that you had or that I had. 14
That's
right
true.
Now is completely different because they are faced, and this is exactly what I have said. I mean, I have difficulties understanding the ways people communicate and the ways people are on social media and just on a day-to-day basis, what they consider personal, I consider so impersonal, you know, mm-hmm. but they are faced with a lot of dangers. Danger because, see, the thing is, now you have something that I refer to as digital love or invisible eyes. Mm-hmm. People can be watching you without you even realizing. And they can, you know, crack whatever code it is to get onto your computer. They can get find information about your cell phone. There are many dangers that nowadays teenagers are exposed to. And the thing is that when you're stuck in a moment of depression and worry, may it be about something personal, it can be something about a subject in school, personal, even if they're dating, dare I say, because nowadays I can't say, oh, 14 is too young, you know? I remember when I was in junior high school, I mean, 14-year-olds had their quote-unquote boyfriends or girlfriends, and I found that strange, but then again, who am I to judge? I'm not here to judge, I am here to help. So to any 14-year-old out there, or for example, to your niece, or if you have a young man or young lady that needs any form of guidance, I have told people if they have a question, no matter what it is, because I understand that certain questions they think are embarrassing, they can submit it anonymous, they don't have to put a name. But if you need to contact me about anything, I promise you, even though I haven't gone through exactly what you're going through, there's nothing that you can tell me that I wouldn't understand, and I will try to respond my best way. I will respond to you. That's a promise. I will do it in the best way that I can. But my point is, there isn't a problem that doesn't have a solution. Only death has no solution. When that happens, your story is gone. Your story is ended. And I want everybody to live. I want everybody to be the Farrah that I couldn't be at the age of 17 or 18. I want people to have the courage. I want them to be my ambassadors so that one day when I'm in a nursing home, you guys can come visit me and tell me how your journey has been.
I love that. Now, how can they reach you?
Through social media, I genuinely am so old school that I don't have a fancy name. I am just on Farrah Krenek, Farrah, last name Krenek. You can find me on Facebook, Twitter, and on Instagram. And if you wish to contact me, message me, please. And again, if there is, and I'm, of course, addressing this to all ages, but I keep on emphasizing on teenagers because you just brought that up. If there's anybody that would have any problem or question in particular, please don't hesitate, and I'm always here for you. Sometimes people think that just because they are having a hard time with something, they're the only ones, and that's not true. There are so many people that are probably going through the exact same thing like you are, but the only difference is how they handle it. And some people need help, some people don't.
Yeah.
But that's exactly what we should be here for, to help each other.
To help each other.
I was asked a question, actually, because the first place that I went to visit with Yushik was Kansas University. I was there a little bit over a month ago. And one of the young ladies, she asked me, she said, what is it like to be a celebrity? And I laughed and I said, well, I'm very flattered that you think of me that way. But I think that you have the wrong idea as to what a celebrity is. See, being a celebrity isn't just about the big screen and the red carpet. You know, in any profession, no matter what you choose to do, if you're a teacher, a lawyer, a doctor, a scientist, you know, fruits will follow. You know, you will be going to parties, you will be going to celebrations and so on. And for a doctor, for example, the biggest celebration shouldn't be a Christmas party. His biggest celebration should be seeing his patient's eyes open after surgery. That's the biggest gift.
Yeah.
You know? So to me, the definition of being a celebrity is a person that impacted your life in a positive way, because they impacted your life in a positive way that you praise them, you're thanking them. So you can be a celebrity and not be an actor. You can be a celebrity in your family, in your community. They ask me, what can I do? Well, how could I, you know, help people? I said, well, you know, go to a school, try to open up a club, or start a blog, try to help your peers, talk about problems, or go to a nursing home, see if maybe you can help the elderly. There's so many things that people can do. And they think that just because, oh, it's not on the big screen, it's not important. Every single person is important, because without each other, we wouldn't have all of these beautiful things that surround us. You know, the most beautiful thing that God ever gifted us with is life. And it's up to us to continue nourishing that and love it and be thankful for it. And, you know, the best way to do that is, again, to inject life to other people.
Yeah.
You know, one of my favorite films was Interview with the Vampire. I don't know if you've seen that one.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, it was a very very good film. Well, you know, Anne Rice knew what she was doing. You know, but you know, there's a very good quote. One of my favorites, actually, that Antonio Banderas said to Brad Pitt. He said, how did it go? He said, in the end, the world changes, and we do not. That, in the end, is the irony that kills us all. So basically, the world changes and the vampires stay the same. Mm-hmm. And obviously, because of the fact that they never change, that destroys them. You know, we have to change with time. We have to accept the fact that, you know, okay, well, kids are dressing up like this now, or kids prefer this now, or I don't know, maybe this is the new in thing. Even though you don't agree with it, you have to accept it. Because if you maintain that same mindset of ignorance and non-acceptance, in the end, the world will keep on changing, and you're going to stay the same. You're going to be left behind.
You know, there's a beautiful thing to ignorance, because, you know, and we take the word ignorance and we kind of make it into like a negative word, but it's really not. To me, there's such stages of life. There's, you know, I did a wonderful retreat at my home in Colorado in Boulder called Blissing Out with the Divine. And we learned about ignorance, and then the next step up is knowledge, and then the next step up is understanding. And once we come to the understanding level that we're really all just here to serve one another, that's the beautiful level of life. And for me, that's one of the places that I love to be, is in that understanding, because all people, like especially kids, they want to know, do you hear me, do you see me, and do I matter? And once we understand that with one another, we really can take love to the max, don't you agree?
But that's the thing, and that's what I try to tell them. You know, they believe that they think that the only way to matter, because, you know, they view actors in a different way, and they think that basically that is the only way to be someone. And I said to them, well, I'm only speaking with you guys for 10, 15 minutes. I think you're pretty amazing. You know, I can't even imagine what it would be like knowing you a lifetime. Mm-hmm. There's always somebody in your life you can cross a complete stranger and they'll impact your life. There's a poem that I live by, and I read this poem every day. It doesn't have to be on a specific time, but it's almost like my mantra every day. Mm-hmm. It's by Mother Teresa. It's called "Do It Anyway." That's mm-hmm. the name of the poem, "Do It Anyway." And in the poem, if you Google this, you will be able to read and understand the message that I'm sending the kids. She goes through all of the emotions. For example, she says, the good you do today will often be forgotten. Do good anyway. If you are sincere, people will cheat you. Be sincere anyway. And in the end, after going through every single emotion that you could possibly think of, you know, she says, you have to understand, in the end, the contract was between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway. Uh-huh. If you do good, or if you love someone, and you give your whole self to them. Never regret that, because that's what people do. That's what you do when you are in love. That's what you do when you care about someone. Just because the outcome is not what you would have wanted it to be, that doesn't mean that you did something wrong. Because, you know something, I would bet my life that if you had another chance to do it all over again, you would do it the same way.
People absolutely
say, oh, if I knew then what I knew now. No, you would do the same
right
thing, you know?
You know, there's a great song that Faith Hill sings, and she goes, Faith Evans, and she goes, if I had to do it all again, I wouldn't take away the rain, because that's how I know he's watching me. And it's just like, yes, like, don't take away my rain. I need it to grow.
yes, you do. And, you know, the reason why people regret is because of the fact that things did not go how it expected. But, you know, that's life. Life can be pretty random. You know, you really can't plan everything. You can't say, oh, well, this is exactly, you know, people sometimes tell me their exact schedule. Or they tell me exactly what something's going to happen. I look at them and I say, when did God resign?
Right.
Seriously, you think you're in charge? I love it. I mean, it's funny. I'm not, you know, nowadays, the reason why I openly speak about something spiritual, or if I mention God, or I mention things that I believe in, the reason I'm doing it now is because I've come to the conclusion that no matter what you say nowadays, even if you try to be as politically correct as you possibly can, somebody's going to get offended.
Anyway.
So So I figured, why not? The whole message nowadays is be yourself. If you like something, express yourself. Because, and it, you know, in many ways, you can't win. If you don't express yourself, you're holding back. When you express yourself, it's bad. It's almost like being stuck in traffic. Green light, the car doesn't move. Red light, worse. So just, you know, just be yourself and just be, and hope that, and my hope is that if I can help at least one person, if one person gets my message, if one person understands what I want to do, mission accomplished. And if they come up to me to thank me, I say, now I have a favor. I want you to take the good that you've learned. I want you to take the good or this positive feeling that you have, and you share that with someone else.
Absolutely.
And cause a chain reaction.
Yeah. You know what I love about that is that there's a great guru that I used to see at Kashi Ashram, Majaya, and she said, when you plant a seed of love, it is you that blossoms. And I could totally feel you blossoming because, you know, we're here on the radio right now. It's 11 something on the East Coast, 8 something on the West Coast. People are tuning in and they're like, there's a really good vibration going out right now because we're speaking out of truth. We're speaking out of honesty. And we just want people to keep reaching because their lives are so big. And, you know, I have a grandmother who lives in Connecticut, and she says, never regret what you've done. Regret what you haven't done.
Yes.
You know?
Sometimes that's one thing. Also, people are angry at themselves in the past because they replay moments and they say, I should have said this. I should.
Right.
You know, I respond. But I tell them, you did the best that you could at that moment.
That's right.
You
and that's all you do.
Know,
Yeah.
You can't really, because that's scripted. That is for TV. That is for film.
Yeah.
When you see a reaction, because people are so caught up in the film, they think, oh my God, I should have done that. Darling, that was scripted. They knew that was going to happen. And sometimes, actually, some of the best takes in any film or any TV series have been raw takes, takes that were not expected, an accident that was not, or a word that was supposed to be said, or a reaction, and they just kept it because it was so good.
That always reminds me of is the Pretty Woman when he closes the jewelry box on her hand. You know, that's like the best one. That was just such a raw moment of like of cuteness, and that's what happens when we're just raw and real. We're cute.
I mean, it's almost like another thing that I have. You know, I don't like makeup. I don't wear makeup to the point where people don't understand why. I tell them, well, let's put it this way. When my mom found out that she was having me, my mother never is a person that wears, maybe once in a blue moon for a party, she would put on a little bit of lipstick or something very light. But the thing is that when I was announcing myself, she couldn't even stand the smell of women in a room that had makeup on. So I said, see, that was me from the very beginning. I said, I don't like that stuff. Get it away from me.
No, that's
it was,
so great.
It was really bad. So
that was the connection, though. That's like a big connection of your reality and your truth.
Pretty much, yeah. And nowadays, you know, I tell girls, you know, the reason why I regret not liking makeup is because of the fact that I see how much fun girls have when they put, you know, they share, you know, blush or lipstick or whatever. It looks fun. They bond, you know, but that's just not my way of bonding, and it's not my way of being.
Right.
And, I, you know, I see these girls and I tell them, look, I understand it's a girl thing, you know, but please promise me that if you're putting that stuff on, you're putting it on because you like that shade and you want to wear it and you're going out with your girlfriends, you're going out to have fun. Don't put on makeup with a butter knife because you think that you're ugly without it.
Right.
That's when I have a negative reaction.
Yeah.
You know,
there's nothing to cover up. There's nothing to cover up. Just be who you are. But listen, we're gonna have to wrap this up because time is flying, girl Farrah. But
it's your fault. You're very charming in conversation. You're making me lose track of time.
No,
I blame you completely, Max.
We are on this journey together, and I am so glad that you're able to be here on Max and Friends tonight and just share your life and your truth and your realness. I think that's what the industry, forget industry, that's just what the world is missing, is the realness of who we all are, and that's this connection we have with each other. So I've got to ask you a quick question because I got a tweet here, and someone wants to know, what is your moment of a retake? I guess that means like... when we were back at the Pretty Woman question scene.
In other words, what would I do in life?
No, from one of your movies, what was a scene where you just kept going? There was that outtake that was kept.
For example, my intimidating inmate look on Orange Is the New Black was never told to do that. I did that. I became the rough and tough inmate that you see there. Simply because of the fact that it felt, you know, just I'll say this quickly, you know, I look the way that I feel. Mm. I'm taking all of that pain from the past, and I just basically inject it into my character. Nobody ever told me, you know, walk down the hallway like you're going to rip somebody's head off. Mm. That was just raw. That was just something that came, and I just stuck with it. But it was never scripted. It was never asked for. It was just done, and I guess that look was wanted because they embraced it and they kept it. And
now, will you be back on the show?
Yes, we are actually filming season 4.
When you see Lynn Tucci, you have to give her a big hug and tell her that I said hi.
well, believe me, I don't know if any of my colleagues are tuning in this evening, but the number one thing that I do always in my mind and in person, I always, for production, I just say thank you for loving me, because it was the only show, and Nurse Jackie as well, they were always very good to me, but Orange Is the New Black, also, they just embraced me for who I was, and just as that's for that very reason, I embrace everyone else, and once again, message to the LGBT youth, to the youth, or anybody in general, again, any questions or any thoughts that you would like to share, do it anonymous, tell me your name, you don't have to, that's fine, I'm here for you. And you too, Max, in case you want to share any more of those romantic songs, hey, please. You know, I'm very nostalgic here in New York, so.
I'm going to talk to you after the show for sure. We're going to tweet how people can reach you after the show. But before we let you go, we're going to go. I've got to just put this out there real quick. Stay tuned, everyone, because we're going to be playing a crystal clear meditation. Sorry about the Bob Proctor. We're not playing that tonight because my guest, Farrah, is just too inspiring to say, you know what, let's go to Bob Proctor. Even though he's inspiring too, Farrah's here live with us on Max and Friends. So before I let you go, tell us about Sisters, because that's like coming out pretty soon, isn't it?
Yes, December. So I certainly hope that that everybody has a good laugh. Again, you know, it was working, having the privilege of working with such amazing and talented, beautiful women such as Amy Poehler and Tina Fey. It was a dream. And the thing is, working with them, there was never a dull moment. I really can't tell you that there was a moment during any of the takes where we were not laughing. So it was, you know, I remember how long we were filming, and it just went in the blink of an eye because we were having such a wonderful time. Again, this was a role that you will see. I pretty much look like myself. I can't give away, obviously, in general, the storyline, but you'll see that regardless if I'm in uniform or not in uniform, it doesn't matter where you see me. These are the reasons why I mention these films or these TV series is because they had me as I was, and they wanted that. So I think that when you appreciate someone, and this, again, I'm talking about theories in life and my thoughts, when you embrace somebody for who they are and you appreciate them for who they are, they will do a million times more than what they have to do. And they'll do
Absolutely.
It happily. And you know,
happily.
So,
that's the way to do it. But, you know, I want to talk. Everyone, we're not doing the meditation. I just got a note from my producer. No meditation tonight because we're going to stay with Farrah for just a couple more minutes. So we'll end with you tonight on the show. I love when life
keeps us up, and I'll fly out to LA just to talk with you. I mean,
right? I love life. It takes over.
We should do that. You know, why am I here in New York right now?
I know. That's just because where you are right now is exactly where you're supposed to be. But, you know, I want to talk to you about Orange is the New Black because I heard that you had sent in your headshots, you didn't hear back, and then you sent in just like a regular selfie, and they said yes.
That's another thing, going back to the rawness of everything. Every actor has professional headshots, as you know. Mm-hmm. And I had been, and it's not that I'm glamored up or anything, because I don't really, I don't wear makeup, and I don't look much different than I would in a regular situation, but they are headshots, so I guess probably my hair is a little bit more neater than it would be if the wind were blowing on it, you know? There was a casting call, and I was not receiving a response, and it was a very stressful time, so I had gone to the gym, and then my best friend calls me up, and he said he read something about they were casting, you know, female inmates. And I told him, yeah, I submitted, but with no luck. And he asked me, what have you been submitting? And I told him the headshots. And he said, where are you now? I was all sweaty and gross and disgusting at the gym. And, you know, with women, it's funny because you can work out and you have to work twice as much to look half as good as a man would after a workout. But you do have those 2 minutes of after working out, you have you flex and you just kind of see muscle tone. And after the hot shower, it just disappears like you never did anything. So, you know, it's just so unfair. You know, you guys can just do 10 push-ups every day for a year and then look like you've been bench-pressing Buicks. You know, women have to do it. Anyway, I just ran home, didn't even shower, you know, flexed and took a selfie. And, you know, I sent that and within the next, I would say, probably about 40 minutes, I received a call and director select. It was very privileged, and I couldn't even believe it. I was stuttering. I couldn't. The thing is that I think the reason, and you have to understand, I'm going all the way back to season one. This is before it was what it is now.
Right.
That's why I tell people the show is like my baby, you know, because I saw this thing born. I went in it genuinely because I wanted to work as an actor. And when I heard everything that I hate, the glitz, the glamour, the makeup, that's exactly what they hate too. You know, because this is perfect.
Some of them.
You know, you're one of the ones that are not going to give me any trouble. You know,
right.
I have developed such a very good relationship with all production and with all of the
Can
crew
you give
members,
us some scoop what's going to happen in this new season?
The only thing that I can say is that you're not going to be able to get enough. And this is another thing that
that's always the case.
here comes the problem, and this is another thing where I'm very old school. Do you remember those years when you had a favorite TV show and you were watching on HBO, and that day ended Saturday, and you had to wait a whole week for the next episode?
Yes, there's two shows, and Oz was one of them. And even now, with Empire, I have to wait until a week.
I mean, it was the same thing with Sex and the City. Oz, I used to love Oz. And I remember watching Oz, and I sat there, and I was thinking, wow, I wish they would make a female prison series. I was always thinking about that.
And now you're on it. That's just the law of attraction.
And now, actually, there's also a book right now. I don't know if you've heard of it, but it is called Out of Orange, and it is the story of Cleary Walters. She's the real Alex. Mm-hmm. If you understand what I mean. Mm-hmm. In other words, it is her side of the story.
Yeah.
So
everyone has a story, right? Everyone has their own side.
Yeah, but this is but it's genuine. It's very powerful, and I could recommend you actually do read it because it's very amazing because of the fact that people are so stuck into listening to one side, and then again, every sentence is a story, and every person is a story. Every person has a story to tell, and I encourage everybody, please listen.
Yeah. Well, that's what we do here on Max and Friends. We've been listening. You all been loving it because I'm getting tweets and emails and Facebooks. We've got to wrap this show up because we're already over time. So I have to say to my LA Talk Radio family, thank you so much for letting us stay a little bit longer here on Max and Friends.
Thank you.
Farrah, before we let you go, what is something this week that you want to just give us an uplifting quote that you love so much that we can take into this week?
You went there. Okay. one of the most sentimental and one of the most tender quotes that I can't even say quotes, it's a thought, it's more like a memory. A woman that I loved with all of me and I've kept as a secret in my heart. She once shared with me something that her mother taught her. And she said to her, never kiss just anyone, because every time that you do, you give away a part of your soul. And then when you finally do meet that special someone that you want to share yourself with, there'll be nothing left to give. I've always kept that as a secret in my heart, and as well as her. And my message to the youth is, I'm pretty sure that I don't need to explain anything further. So
they got it. But, I got it. They got it. Just love yourself so you can love someone else, right?
And
save yourself for those that you really want to. You know, there's a great quote that I'm going to leave with everyone tonight, and it's, man's rejection is God's protection. So don't worry if you're getting rejected by someone, because there's going to be someone out there that loves you, and they love you so much. And remember, I love you. You are not here to shrink down to less, but to blossom into more of who you really are. Farrah Krainic, thank you so much for being on Max and Friends. I'm going to talk to you after the show. We got to wrap this up. I love you all for tuning in. Take life to the max this week. Good night, good karma, and love one another. I'll talk to you next Sunday on Max and Friends. Good night.
Good night, everyone. Good night. Bye-bye.